Okay, 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Okay, before we read down through this, the idea of this morning's message is how to get clear direction from God. Direction for life, instructions, mainly dealing with the specific will of God for your life. 1 Samuel 3 is how Samuel was given directions from the Lord. Some will say this is your niche in life. I would say it's more a special calling from the Lord. And you can see how it occurred for him. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, and it says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious. In those days there was no open vision." Okay, the idea of that statement is before God had written revelation, he'd make his words known through visions. And so in essence, right there, nobody was really hearing anything from God because of the wickedness of people. Okay, very similar spiritual situation what we're in right now. Verse 2, "And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. That the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou hast called me." See, he thought Eli called him when it was actually the Lord. "And he said, I called not, lie down again, and he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said unto him, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him." The idea is knowing the Lord personally, okay, as in the New Testament, personal Savior. Verse 8, "And the Lord called Samuel," again the third time, "and he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times. Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth." Okay, so he said his name twice. Okay, you'll find seven times in the Bible where God mentions a man's name twice in a row. Abraham, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. I think it was Jacob and Jacob. Okay, so seven times like that. Usually when mama says first name, middle name, you're in trouble or something serious has taken place. Okay, so this is something serious. "And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord." Notice, didn't say he slept. Kept him awake most of the night. Rest of the night. "And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, Here am I. And he said, What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee?" Well, you did have to ask that question. "And then he puts a stipulation, I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he has said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good." And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. So he's even better than E.F. Hutton. Okay, and all Israel from Dan, even to Beersheba, Dan's far north, Beersheba's far south, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord, and the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I pray, ask that you'd help us to understand these words, and I pray that if someone in here, hopefully young folks and anybody else that looking for a clear direction of life, that they would know how to get it from thee. And Lord, we do ask for clear direction and guidance in the matters of living this life. And I pray that we'd all seek thy guidance. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, this is an example of Samuel. The Bible talks about a call. Most people think that a call of God is strictly limited to like being a preacher or an evangelist or something like that. And of course, that is people's thoughts of today, and it's wrong. Some folks will call this a full-time Christian service, and last time I checked, I do believe we all are supposed to be full-time Christians, and that is also including being a servant. A calling may be a special task for the Lord. It may be a special message from the Lord that you're to give to somebody else. John the Baptist called himself a voice in the wilderness. No big title. Just said, "I'm a voice in the wilderness." Haggai, this fella, proclaimed five very short messages within a four-month time period. And does that mean he only had a four-month ministry? I don't know. Would that be better than nothing? But he only had five very short messages, and those are the ones that were written down in the Bible. So I guess you could say that's little as much when God is in it, but that may be all that God wants you to deliver at a certain time. Okay, that's what he did for Haggai. Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel had longer ministries as far as time periods. Jeremiah didn't have much fruit. Ezekiel, he told Ezekiel, "I'm going to send you to a people that you already know the language, and they're not going to listen to you." And you would think, okay, if they're not going to listen, why tell them? Well, that's what he told Ezekiel. And he said, "Ezekiel, they're not going to listen to you, but they got a hard head." He said, "But I'm going to make yours harder." And he said, "At least they're going to know a prophet's in the land." Okay, and so that's what Ezekiel was told to do. Now, he had a long ministry. Jeremiah's was probably 50, 60 years. Isaiah's probably about the same, maybe 70. Some of the minor prophets had shorter length in their words. Daniel served during two worldwide kingdoms, okay, during Babylon and Media Persia. Joseph served the Lord in Egypt as, you know, a high official. Now, Amos was a guy that had an orchard. He was a gatherer of sycamore fruit. He's out there gathering some fruit, you know, had his basket, you know, had a pole where he's trying to get it if he needed to get that. And he's out there doing that, and the Lord says, "Hey, pal, I want you to go tell somebody something." Okay. So he goes to some bureaucrat and tells him, "Hey, everything's falling apart." And the guy says, "I can't believe you said that." He said, "Oh, by the way, your wife's going to be selling herself as a harlot. You're going to lay that on them." And then he said, "Man, I'm not a prophet. I'm not a prophet's son. God just told me to go tell you this. I just thought you'd get great encouragement out of it." And he said, "See you later. I'm going back to pick some fruit." You see, he just had a livelihood like anybody else did. And the Lord said, "Go do this." If you go to my brother-in-law's place out in Pennsylvania, he's got auto body shop. If you go into his garage, you'll see Bible verses written, handwritten in his garage from top to down, all the way around. And if you ask, he will go drop everything and start from this side and work you all the way around to this side. He won't ask for an offering, but he might as well. But that is, he uses his, you know, thing as work. You may or may not agree with some of the things he says, but hey, he's saying something. Okay? The idea is that it gets some clear direction in life. Now, as a nation, it's really not that hard to figure out. As a nation, when a nation starts messing up and walking away from God, basically, all the Lord does, he turns the faucet on or he turns it off. Either a drought or a flood or a tornado or a hurricane or a hemicane. They got those nowadays because they're not named after the hers anymore because the queer is one of their rights. Okay, and so you got those. You got, earthquakes. That's God giving a warning to a nation. How are we looking? Now, when a high official happens to mention maybe that hurricane down in New Orleans was a sign or a message from God that we're not doing right, oh, well, he get blasted in the news media, as one did. They call them acts of God. What's their complaint? Okay, that's what God does. If he doesn't want to go the big route, he'll send a little worm, pest, chew on the corn. You know, as a nation, a mold, a fungus will come in, you know, take the crops out. No, the Lord's got his different ways. Now, that beats the alternative where he doesn't tell you anything, and all of a sudden, whap, a big thunderstorm comes down, and he tortures you like he did Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay? That's often how he deals with nations. Now, as individuals, which obviously what we're more concerned with, and I do hope and pray that you are concerned with what the Lord would like you to do in your life, whatever it is, whatever the call is. Hopefully, after being born again, you don't live like an atheist where you don't even consider the Lord. But obviously, I'm sure people do that. Now, there are different ways God made his words known to people in the Bible. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, I'll run a couple of them. In the Old Testament, before God had written Revelation, he would make known his words through dreams and visions. Okay, for the authority for that is Numbers 12, verse 6. Okay, that's probably the main verse you can run. Dreams and visions. Obviously, a dream is when a guy's sleeping. A vision is what we'd call a daydream, where you're awake, but yet your eyes are kind of glow, you know, where you start staring out into Never Never Land. And all of a sudden, he gives you a vision, actually see something. Dreams or visions. That's how he made his words known. Examples in the Bible, Abraham, he made an agreement with Abraham, an everlasting covenant. Abraham was sleeping, okay, in a deep sleep, Genesis 15, and God made an agreement with him. Now, Abimelech, a heathen named Abimelech, he was trying to get Abraham's wife into his harem. And Abimelech was sleeping at night, Genesis 20, and the Lord basically didn't give him a dream, gave him a nightmare, and he basically said, "You're a dead man." What for? Well, that woman you got there is somebody else's wife. That's how he made his words known to Abimelech. Okay, Pharaoh was given a couple dreams where he was given some prophetic information for Egypt. Nebuchadnezzar was given a big dream about future prophecies. Joseph, when Joseph learned that his wife-to-be was with child, then he was trying to weigh the odds there. What do I do? She's with child. I love her, but I love God. What do I do in this thing? What she did, obviously wrong, but, you know, I love her, and, you know, you don't really love somebody unless they're unlovable, and she obviously did something unlovable, but I still love her, and so what do I do? God says do this, but, you know, what do I do? And so he was trying to weigh those options that night, and the Lord gave him the answer through a dream. Okay, so that's Old Testament. And you say, does the Lord do that today? Possibly does. Okay, but we have something a little bit different, okay? In the New Testament, not in the Old Testament, in the Old Testament, the way God would make his truth known to the Jews were through signs and wonders. Okay, this began with Moses. Okay, Moses was revealed that he was to be a national leader, and the way he convinced or proved to the people that he was a national leader was he took this rod and threw it down and became a snake, and then he picked the snake back up and it turned into a rod. Or he would take some water and throw it out and it'd turn into blood. And that's how the nation of Israel gets confirmation. In the New Testament, it's recorded in 1 Corinthians 1:22, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Okay, the Jews require a sign. Now, when you read through the Old Testament, you'll find certain of those Jewish leaders, when God told them something, they would ask for confirmation by a sign or a miracle. Remember, Gideon did that about the fleece. Remember when Hezekiah was told that he's going to be a dead man in a couple days, and he started crying about that, and the Lord said, okay, I'll give you 15 more years. And he said, can you prove it? Give me a sign. And that's when he put the sundial back 10 degrees. So that's Old Testament. In the New Testament, when people were demanding Jesus Christ of signs, which he's already given them, he said, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. So today, any Christians who are looking for signs outside the signs in the highway, any signs they're looking for is the characteristic of a wicked and adulterous generation. Now, what movement of Christians today are always looking for signs? You know, the ones who claim to be gifted. You know, they're humble about their gifts, and they're all ready to tell you about it. Okay? And that, we'll find, is a wicked and adulterous generation. Now, so we got to look at something else for us in the New Testament. So is there some other sources that the Lord may reveal some direction in your lives? Well, when you read through the Bible, you'll find some. Getting directions from God is often similar to getting directions from man. As you're traveling down the highway, you may have a backseat helper or a driver suggesting, turn right, turn left, go this way, go that way. You know, hit the brakes, you know, shut up and just sit back there. Okay, sometimes that's help, sometimes it's a hindrance. Sometimes you may have to stop and ask for directions. And again, sometimes that's a help, and most times it's a hindrance. You know, go down here, it's the first house on the left. Yeah, right. Okay, so you got those sort of things. Now, in the Bible, you got different situations. In Judges 6, there's a fellow named Gideon. Gideon is threshing his wheat secretly, privately. He's hiding because if he did not, the Philistines would come and demand a buyout. I guess you could say a payoff, a mafia type thing, or a tax. So Gideon's hiding so he doesn't have to pay this thing out, and he's threshing his wheat, and the Lord shows up and he said, thou mighty man of valor. Are you talking to me? I'm hiding. I'm scared. You talking to me? Yeah, I'm talking to you, thou mighty man of valor. Take some guts to do some of those things. You know you're scared in the process. Okay, so thou mighty man of valor. And so then he said, here's what I want you to do. And so he said, Gideon, I want you to go knock over that golden calf down there. You know that statue? You know the one that everybody bows down to? I want you to go kick it over. What? I want you to go kick, you know, Mary and St. Christopher and St. Jude and St. Bernard and the golden calf. I want you to kick them over. They'll kill me if I did that. Just don't worry about it. I'm telling you to go do that. Now, those are not things he tells us in the New Testament. Okay, but that's what they did in the Old Testament. So he did that. They found out who did it. And his dad bailed him out. Okay. And then the next chapter, he says, Gideon, I want you to get an army together, and I want you to attack the Midianites. And he says, okay, we got an army? Yeah, 30,000. He said, but you got a bunch of, I know they're two-legged. I know you don't see feathers, but you got about 20,000 chickens in there. And I want you to get them out. So he stands up in front of 30,000 people and said, okay, all you are scared, go home. And 20 of them went home. 20,000 went home. 10,000 left. And so he said, still got too many. Let's get this thing down to a more reasonable number. And he gets it down to 300. You see, sometimes your circumstances in life might help you with the will of God, but sometimes they might not. So in this matter, he asked for a sign. God gave the sign. Gideon was still wondering about this. So he snuck in camp and he heard two fellows talking about a dream that the one had, and he heard the interpretation. The idea here is that, you know, sometimes the Lord's going to speak to you through people's everyday conversation. Just somebody talking. Not that you have to put your nose in other people's business, but, you know, Americans, they just seem to run their mouth, especially in the grocery line when they're going to tell you about everything they've been doing the past week. But the idea is, listen to people's conversations. You might hear from the Lord. Not only that, listen to the conversations of little kids. There was a little maid that gave instructions to a sickly man named Naaman, and he got some answers from God through a little child, a little girl. There's a little boy in the New Testament that helped the Lord out with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Don't underestimate the little ones. Men, don't underestimate the females. There were 6 daughters of one man in the Old Testament that asked Moses about an inheritance, and the Lord said to Moses, those girls are speaking right. They got a direction from God through some girls. Daniel, when he was 90 years old, got some directions from the Lord. There's no age limit on this. Young folks, listen to the elderly. They have a lot of wisdom. You need to sit down and ask them some things. Okay? And you learn a lot of things from the elderly. Okay, there was another fellow in the Bible that learned something from his transportation, Balaam. And there are a lot of those still walking around. Most of them are two-legged. I've met several donkeys or jackasses. Okay, and you might be surprised that they might say something that you might get from the Lord. I don't know if your dog's going to talk to you, but you might get something. Okay. Another thing that might surprise you is that, you know, God can often speak through the unsaved. Heathen. In 2 Chronicles chapter 35, there was a very, very good man named Josiah. Josiah was going to go to battle, and he was going to go to the right-wrong battle. He was going to go to wrong fight. And the king that was involved with this, a heathen king, said to Josiah, what I'm doing is of the Lord, and I don't want you to part of it. Please don't be a part of it, because, you know, basically, he that meddles in affairs not belong to him is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. And Josiah did not recognize that God could speak through the heathen. He certainly can. God is not limited to our theology. Okay? And so those are some humble sources a person needs to consider. Okay? Probably the main source that a person needs to consider is your own family. Children, your parents play a very significant role in your lives, in the direction of your lives. Okay, or the leadership that your parents designate in your family. In the Bible, example, in Jeremiah 35, there was a fellow named Rahab. He had several boys. He told his boys, he said, we have lived in a tent all our lives. I don't know if he didn't have stock in some lumber company or what. I don't know if he bought into some tent company. That's just what he did. And he did not drink anything from the vine tree. Okay, so he said to his boys, I don't want you to drink anything from the vine tree, eat anything from the vine tree, no raisins, no grapes, no grape juice, no fermented, no nothing. And he said, I want you to live in a tent the rest of your life. Now, what authority did he have to do that?
As a dad, he had the authority to tell his own boys something, but when they left his household, what authority did he have to do that? Really none. But those boys wanted to honor their dad. There was nothing sinful or wrong about it, nothing against the scriptures. Jeremiah comes along. He says, I want you guys to sit down with me. I got some grape juice here for you. And they said, sorry, we're not going to drink it. Well, I'm the prophet of God. Who are you? You know, pastoral authority, all that stuff. You know, I'm the prophet. I'm telling you to drink it. They said, I ain't going to do it. Why? Because dad said not to. And the Lord said, blessed be thou. And he blessed those young men because they honored their dad. What does that mean for us today? If there's something that your parents believe that I don't believe or teach, believe what your parents say. When you get outside the house, get in the Bible and find out for yourself what you think the Lord believes on that matter. How many preachers are going to say that? Some of these Baptist guys ain't going to say anything like that. They're so stuck in themselves. But that's the way it's supposed to be because the daddy's running the program. You say, what if he ain't right? Woo, then you're going to have to get on your knees and get a hold of your God and let God fix his wagon. He's got a wrench that'll fit any monkey. Okay? So the idea, now in Samuel's case, Samuel was complying with his earthly leadership, Eli. Samuel's own boys were perverts. Not sodomites, but they were perverts with the, you know, the girls in the area. Samuel could have easily said at that point, he can't even raise his own kids, I ain't gonna listen to him. But God blessed Samuel, and when Samuel got the thing going as far as the ministry God had for him, he had a circuit riding ministry where he'd go from place to place, and whatever he said happened. Okay? Now, this might surprise some of the male chauvinists. There's times you need to listen to your wife. There was a time where God told Abraham, you were wrong because you hearkened unto your wife, Genesis 16. And there was also a time where he said, you should hearken unto your wife, Genesis 21. So there's time you got to pay attention to that. You say, how are you going to know for certain? Well, if you're walking with the Lord, you'll figure it out. You see? Family and the leadership that your family delegates play a very important thing. I mean, who is one of the worst person you can go to for advice? Your peers. A 16-year-old giving advice to another 16-year-old. Yeah, you know, I'd just like to really tell you something. My parents are really dumb. Yeah, mine are too. You know, like they know everything. Okay? And so, go to the ones who really love you and care for you. Now, the best source, obviously, and the only source that you're really going to get it, and it's going to help out with all the other areas, is you get alone with God. If you would, look in Psalms 37. Psalms 37. Psalms 37, verse 4. Now, whatever livelihood the Lord leads you into, I would certainly hope and pray that you are concerned about trying to please your God. Sad thing is, a lot of Christians act like atheists. You know, they can't sing the song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. They need to sing, you know, a dread 2 minutes of, you know, something, dropping a napkin. They just sadly aren't praying about anything. Psalms 37, verse 4, delight thyself, the TH is personal pronoun. Psalms 37, 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You say, well, my desires are, it doesn't matter what your desires are now. The idea is to delight thyself in the Lord first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto thee. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Well, how do we delight in the Lord? Psalms 1, verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he doth meditate day and night. That's a fanatic. Day and night. That would be if you had the sports page and the Bible first thing in the morning, your delight is what you're going to pick up first. Not against the sports page, not against the news media. Well, maybe I am against the news media. Okay, because they're not giving the news. You know, anybody who can think for themselves can realize that the news is designed to manipulate your mind. If you don't think that, you've already been bit. You know, have you read, has anybody read an article in the USA Today about Ron Paul being a presidential campaign or a candidate? In the USA Today, anybody read that? How about the Lowell Tribune? Anybody read that? How about in Time Magazine? Has they mentioned Ron Paul being a presidential candidate? Anybody read that? How about Chicago Sun-Times, the Chicago Tribune? Anybody read that? Why is it that they've all mentioned Hillary? You know, and Obama Slama. Why aren't they saying anything about Ron Paul? Why is it that the Republican, Rush Limbaugh, don't even mention Ron Paul? Why is that? The guy's, you know, running up for president just like all the others are. Why? They don't want you to know about this gentleman. This longtime congressman in Texas that has spoken against the Fed and the United Nations, you know, and globalism. Yeah, they don't want to mention this guy. One of the best, if not the best. You know, I'd take him and dump all the rest. And we'd probably have the best president since Andrew Jackson, because I think that's the last good one we had, including today's. Okay? But you see, the idea is delight thyself in the Lord. It's not wrong reading a newspaper. It's not wrong reading his magazines. It's not wrong in those things. But we are to delight ourselves in the Lord. There was a church in Revelation chapter 2 that left their first love. They left their delight. What did the Lord tell them? I'm taking your church out. I'm dumping it. If you don't delight in me, delight thyself also in the Lord. You see, the idea is this is a roadmap for life. And you're going to find something in there. If you delight in the Lord, you cannot miss what God has for you. Another thing on delighting in the Lord is spend time with him in prayer. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Proverbs 3, verse 5, famous verses often mentioned, often memorized. Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. In half of your ways, acknowledge him. Well, let's put it more towards American Christianity. In what you decide, acknowledge him, and hopefully he will agree with your paths. No, it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In all your ways. Every area of your life God wants to be a part of. Every area. Work? Do you ever pray at work? You ever pray about the type of work you do? Help me not to hit the wrong nail, Lord. You know, help me in the work. Good craftsmanship, ask God to help you. If it's not worth to have God involved with it, dump it. You know, can you, maybe you're a bartender. You know, pass out the drink and pray with the guy over the drink. If you can't do it, dump it. Okay? The Lord wants to be a part of that. Philippians 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. You see, people don't realize that if you're on the highway and you're fellowship with the Lord, you know, when somebody pops you a bird, you can just wave at them and smile and enjoy it. You know, why is it that we don't consider these things? Pray. Spend time with God. God wants you to acknowledge Him in all things. You know, there's a fellow in the Old Testament, a guy named Asa. And again, he was a good man. Bible says he was a good man. Asa died a horrible death of 2 years of a slow death because he got a disease in his feet. Gout, I don't know, gangrene in his feet. And it says that he sought the physicians and not the Lord. He went to Dr. M.D. for 2 years and went through great pain and never prayed about that. Boy, oh boy, it's not wrong to go to the doc. Maybe, maybe not. It's not wrong to go to them, but the idea is to pray about this. God wants you and I to acknowledge Him in all things. And this delighting in the Lord, this is how we get directions from the Lord specifically. Like, this is our roadmap. There's nothing special about that, nothing unique about that. It's not rocket science. It's just that if you get along with God, He's going to give you the directions. He knows your address. He knows your phone number. And if He's got a task for you, He's going to tell you what to do. And how are we going to know that? Delight thyself in Him. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do ask and pray that You'd help us to realize that we need to get our directions from Thee. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to delight ourselves in Thee personally, in prayer and in the ministry of the Word of God. Lord, I pray You'd help us to focus on the Word and be true to Your Word and help us to not leave our first love. Well, heads bowed and eyes are closed, the instruments played, the altar's open if you need it. Delight thyself in the Lord, and He shall give thee the delights or the desires of thy heart. Obviously, is if you spend time with the Lord and He's going to change your heart to make it to be in the right way, the right place. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. A lot of people think that if they are seeking God's will for their life, is, oh, He's going to stick me as a missionary in Africa, like Mike Flick. And I tell you, Mike Flick has delighted in the Lord, and he wouldn't want to be anyplace else. Lord wants us to delight in Him. And when we delight in Him, He will give us the desires of our heart because our heart will be right. Lord, thank You for Your goodness. And Lord, I do pray You'd help us to be faithful to Thee, help us to delight in Thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, before you're dismissed, I have an important announcement. Brent?